that was always the cute, like, Halloween costume when I was in high school. It was like, oh, you just, like, wear a little monochromatic outfit, and then you wear a cute little, like, hat kind of tilted, and you're like, ooh, I'm a crayon. I'm so cute.
Yeah, but then are you also, like, a sexy color?
I mean, you could be, like, maybe if you wrote, like, a sexy color on the side or something like
what
that.
What are the sexy colors?
I mean, what comes to mind is red because it's like the typical color of passion. But I think pink can still kind of be cute where it's like, I'm a little flesh toned, but like not too much where it looks creepy, but just enough to be inviting.
Yeah. So, okay. Well,
there you go. I guess I just looked at them and I thought.
That sounds like a Be Grateful After Dark conversation.
Oh,
where we
yeah.
Talk about what colors in the crayon box are the most
enticing. Yes.
This is Be Grateful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. Is that what I say? About a podcast where we're finding fullness through creativity. I forgot it.
Sorry.
Anyway,
yeah.
Fullness, creativity. Createful. That's what
happens
here. What it means. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 82, we're talking about generosity and creativity. So you brought this up to us.
I did because, if you don't know, I had shoulder surgery. I would say recently, but it sure doesn't feel recent at the beginning of August. And so by the time this comes out, I'll be just wrapping up my fourth week since surgery. And so I created a meal train because I only have one arm.
What is a meal train?
I didn't realize it was an actual website.
Oh, cool. So
but
what is it? Like, how does it work?
I thought it was just what churches made up for, like, when someone has a baby. Anyway, it's where you sign up to take meals to somebody.
Oh, cool. And that way you don't end up with, like, a ton of food at the beginning. And like not.
Oh, right. It just helps organize it.
Yeah.
So that, yeah. And then people can see, they can sign up for a day and then they can see what other people are bringing too. So you don't end up with like everyone bringing you
poppy seed chicken.
Right.
Yes.
Actually, no one's brought me that.
It's because they knew people have ridden this meal train before.
Yeah, but no one brought me poppy seed chicken yet.
Okay.
I like poppy seed chicken, so if you're local, there's still dates you can sign up on my meal train, and you can bring me poppy seed chicken.
Oh, cool.
So, anyway, I just was, like, really, it just struck me, how many people, like, signed up.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how creative people are in the food that they bring.
Okay, so what were some I'm a food oriented person. What are some highlights?
Well, okay. I am not. I mean, I like food.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't cook for myself. And so I have never eaten this well for like this long. I mean, my Muli doesn't enjoy cooking. And so she fed us. It's not like we went hungry. Like we had dinner every night, but she didn't love it. So there wasn't even, there's maybe like two or three things that I could remember her making that I would be like, oh yeah, home cooked meal or mm-hmm. whatever. So, anyway, I've never eaten this much good food this many consecutive days.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Okay. Our, podcast friend, make do friend, Katie made jalapeno chicken and jalapeno cornbread to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the best. I did have to get creative on how I ate it because the chicken was whole.
Okay. Yeah.
And I can't cut food.
You only got one hand.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm just imagining you like with a fork, like spearing the chicken.
Yeah.
Like,
you know how you can cut chicken pretty easily, like with the grain of the chicken. So I could do that. And then I would just spear it and like eat it like a spicy chicken popsicle.
I love.
But it also made me think, Katie, because I know you're listening, you need to make a spicy cookie.
Oh, yeah. Like a sweet and spicy cookie.
Mm-hmm. Like my favorite frozen yogurt place in Dallas has a mango habanero frozen yogurt.
Ooh.
And it's so good because not only is it sweet and spicy, it's also cold and spicy
at the same time.
Which is
kind
of cool.
Oh, I do like that.
So,
well, that's awesome that you had so much good food coming your
way. Somebody made Rice Krispie treats, which sound, you're like, Rice Krispie treats. One, Rice Krispie treats are real good.
The homemade ones.
And she made it with browned butter and like sea salt on top.
Oh, and we all know that Joe likes some salt. Oh,
they were so good.
Let me tell you, for a dairy-free option, my mom makes it with coconut oil instead of
butter.
And then if you hit it with a dark chocolate drizzle, it's like it's a coconut dark chocolate like candy bar almost. It's so good.
Sounds good. And you could put like peanut butter in there too.
Yeah. Rice Krispie treats, when they are homemade, like surprisingly simple, so good.
Also, you can have the Christmas ones.
The Christmas ones.
Remember, do they still make the red and green Rice Krispies?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because we would make like Christmas Rice Krispie treats because they're red and green.
Oh, that sounds cool too.
What else did I have that was good? Like, I haven't had anything that was bad.
Oh, yeah. You shared some manicotti with me that was really good. Yes.
That was one of our itty bitty parents. She signed up and brought me manicotti, which is Mooley's favorite. And it was the first night too. So, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
So that got me thinking on how people were taking something that they love. Like, one of two things. One, either people are like, I love to cook and have signed up for multiple times. Or people are like, I hate to cook. What restaurant do you want?
Yeah.
But people are still like being generous regardless, right? So, but in regards directly to the people who love to cook, this is a way that they can be, I don't want to keep using the word generous, but that they can give from a place of, like from their passion or from their hobby, right?
Yeah.
So that is what made me think of what is the connection between creativity and generosity.
Mm-hmm. I want to back us up a little bit just so we can talk about like what generosity means. Because typically when I think of it, I just think of someone giving a lot of stuff.
Right.
Or just like bringing forth like, oh, they were very generous with their money or whatever.
With their time. Or
a generous portion. But generosity means that you're giving out of a place, you're readily giving more than what is expected. And to me, the key word that's in there is readily giving, because generosity is not done like begrudgingly, because then it's not generosity anymore. Right. It's more of like it's
obligation.
It's coming out of obligation. And when I kept like kind of doing just some preliminary research on generosity, it kept getting tied up with this idea of kindness, that you're doing something. Typically when you're being generous, you're giving to someone who doesn't have a lot. So you're kind of like, or at a deficit.
To a
so
need.
You're giving to a need. That's an excellent way to put it. You are unable to cook food for yourself. You couldn't prepare anything. So people were giving generously to you, to your need, to feed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of wanted to lay the groundwork for what we mean by generosity as we move forward. Mm-hmm. So do you have any thoughts on the meaning of generosity?
I wonder if it matters what you think about the other person.
Oh.
Like, if it's easy, it's easy for us to be generous with people that we love.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's like in a relationship, being generous with, like, knowing someone is that you're close to is having a bad day and that's why they're acting a certain way. And so you are generous in your response to them versus if someone is just rude to you at Walmart and you have no relational connection to them, it's a lot tougher to be, it's a lot less natural to be generous in our response to those people or like how we receive their hostility towards us, maybe.
And it's interesting in the things that I was looking up, none of it really talks about relationship. You don't have to be, a relationship is not required person. Or the need.
Yeah. So maybe that's what I was getting at. Like, is it actually more generous? I'm not trying to qualify it, but like, does it require more generosity when you actually don't have a relationship with the person.
Meaning, because I think what you're getting at here is that typically when you're in relationship with someone, you are like, there's reciprocation going on.
Right.
So is it really generous if you're expecting to get something back?
Right. Well, then I guess to that point, we could say, are the people who are signing up for my meal train actually even being generous?
So this is interesting.
Because if so, then it blows my whole idea for this podcast.
Well, and maybe we don't want to get this deep, but
really, don't we?
It just reminds me of a conversation that I had with my dad and some other people about what does it mean to do good? Like, if you're doing good just to do good, are you actually doing that? Or are you
Friends episode on that.
Yeah. Are you doing it to be accepted? Are you doing it to get those warm and fuzzies? Like, are humans actually capable of doing something without getting anything back? I mean,
have you read The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand?
No, but I have heard much discourse on it, and I've played the video game about it, and I
because that's
not interested.
That's the whole gist of it, if I remember. I mean, I didn't understand most of it, but from what I remember looking back, it's all about like altruism. Are we even capable of doing anything like truly for the benefit of someone else, or is it only because we get something in return?
Yeah.
And it's like in Friends when Phoebe lets the bee sting her. Have you seen this episode?
I've seen a lot of Friends episodes, but I don't recall this one. So what happens?
I don't remember if it's Joey or Chandler. Someone tells Phoebe, must be Chandler, because I don't think Joey would think this deeply, that there's no such thing as like a selfless deed, that it always, you're always doing it because it makes you feel good. So she like donates money and he's like, yeah, but that made you feel good, right?
Ooh, I think I'm vaguely remembering this episode now.
So she gets stung by a bee.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I let this bee sting me and I do not feel good about it. Like, and he said, why did you let it sting her? Well, so the bee would look good in front of its friends. And then he says, you know, that bee died after it stung you, right? So anyway, but it to that point of like, we are generous because there is a reward for our generosity.
Yeah. And I think there's an argument to be made there that we are like programmed and wired to be that way, to enjoy doing things for the people in our community because it's how we survive.
Right. Because when we do good for our community survives.
Yes.
So it should feel good. We should have a good feeling when we do something good.
Exactly.
And that, why does it have to be? I think that there's a difference between having twisted motives, like trying to manipulate a situation through an action that could be perceived as generous, right? Versus being generous because you do get good feelings from it. Those are two different things.
Yes. So I think when rubber meets the road and we're talking about like real life, not philosophy, you know, are you doing it to manipulate someone versus like, are you doing it because you care about what happens to the other person or you just care about your fellow man?
Right.
That's the delineation between generosity and like manipulation or things like that.
Right.
But I would say it's circling back to you talking about, is it more generous to give to someone that you don't know? I think there's something to be said there because you are definitely not guaranteed to get anything back.
Right.
Whereas in a relationship, you might.
Right.
But I don't think like we're not talking in terms of like which one is like worse. It's just more like.
Right. Because we're not trying to we don't try to make moral qualifications here.
Yeah. But I think it does. It's a greater. I would say it's a greater gamble to put time, resources into being generous to someone you don't know than someone that you do.
Well, or what you are getting from it has nothing to do with with anything being reciprocated, right? It is like something in the action itself is fulfilling enough.
Yes, which I think is what we all should really aspire to, is just the things that we do being enough for us and not expecting the praise and admiration or relationship back from other people. I think that's how you reach self-actualization, become a whole person where you're not reliant on other people's, what they think about you.
Yeah.
To build yourself up.
Well, That took, I mean, the conversation in a whole different direction that I did not prepare for.
No, but that's okay. I think this is a conversation that, or at least this part of the conversation needs to be had, because in the culture that I grew up in, generosity, or at least the look of generosity, was something that was expected of me and expected of women. We're expected to be very giving and almost to the point of a self-sacrifice. Mm-hmm. That I didn't quite understand until I got older, but it was something that I was practicing even in my young age of being, you know, in being a teenager.
Well, or that, right, that self-sacrificing mentality is generosity, and it's not.
I think, again, like kind of going back to what we were talking about, that the act itself is enough for you. When you're taught that you need to be self-sacrificing, you're doing it because other people have told you to, and you want to be accepted by those people. So it's not the act that you are identifying with. It is instead, well, I was told that I had to do this, mm-hmm. that this is what it takes to be a good person or a mm-hmm. good woman or a good spouse.
Mm-hmm. Or in that case, you could say in religious circles, even a good Christian, like, mm-hmm. are you giving your 10% tithe or are you giving more? Are you, you know, there's all kinds of expectation wrapped around that too.
And the problem with that is that other people don't know what resources you have. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking emotion, the relationship kind of currency that you have with other people. Mm-hmm. There's so many other ways that you can be generous other than just money. And when people put expectations on you of this is how much you need to be giving, or this is what your generosity needs to be looking like, they are putting on you an identity or an expectation that doesn't fit you because they think that they have the same similar resources.
Right. Also, if there's any expectation or obligation attached to it at all, then that disqualifies it, right, from being generous.
Yeah. One of the things that I do want to talk about later on, and I'll touch on a little bit at the end as well, is that generosity separated from joy is not generosity. It's totally something else.
Okay. Why do you want to talk about it later on? Let's talk about it now.
Oh, well, because I am going to put it in one of my tips.
Oh, okay.
But I think so we can talk about it a little bit here. If you are... have a readiness to give, there is a joy that is there. I'm not talking about necessarily a happiness. Maybe it's warm and fuzzies, but just it is that sort of the good feelings that you get from just doing the act. For me, that happens when I'm maybe sewing something for someone that they don't know that they're getting something mm-hmm. just yet. And as I'm making it or in the process of doing it, I'm just get so giddy because I'm so excited that I'm able to do this for someone or craft something mm-hmm. specifically for someone. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes I get that feeling when I learn how to take a recipe and make it dairy-free. Like the first time I made dairy-free pizza for Richard, I was like, oh, I'm so excited because he and I can now eat pizza together. And isn't that so awesome that I'm able to take something that he was disconnected from that experience of eating pizza with me. And now I get to bring him into that experience of eating pizza with me because I was able to figure this out. Like, it's just that. So I guess there is some relationship that I'm getting back from that. But also, like, I get to give him the gift of eating pizza again, mm-hmm. which I think is a pretty big gift.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that leads me into more of a conversation I was prepared for.
Okay, let's go.
So I think that the most fun part of the creative process when you're making something for someone is giving it to them. So like when I am making a quilt, this is an old example.
Sure.
But giving someone a quilt, it was always the best part of the process. Like getting to finally share it with them.
That's funny because when I make things for other people, that's when I get the most nervous.
Well, yeah. So that's another thought that I had is that the stakes are also higher on a gift that you are giving out out of your creativity.
Yes. Like right now, I'm in the process of making a gift for someone that I like heard through the grapevine. Oh, they don't have a lot of ties and bow ties. And I was like, I am yo girl. And they have a very unique sense of style. So I thought, oh, I can pick out some like quirky and interesting fabrics to go with this. And I'm really excited about that part. But I know the worst part is going to be like, I can already tell, like giving it to them and like hoping and praying that it's something that they like and will want to wear. Because mm-hmm. how many times have we heard the story of dads on Father's Day getting a terrible tie?
Right. Right. I made my brother-in-law, I maybe talked about this before, he's a firefighter, and his first year, you know, at Christmas, that first year he was a firefighter, I made him a quilt that's the firefighter flag. Ooh. So it was like all black and white stripes and then like a red stripe down the center that is the firefighter flag. Because they have to take their own bunk gear to sleep.
Okay.
So I did not know if he wanted a quilt. It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like, because I basically made up, how am I going to make this?
Like, you made quilt. A pattern and stuff for it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just, right. I wouldn't call it a pattern.
No, but like you had to make it up
how I was going to do it.
Design it.
And then before I gave it to him, I started thinking, this is so lame. Like, are the other firefighters mm-hmm. going to make fun of him?
Yeah.
That he like brings a blankie, like a quilt or whatever.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, the stakes were like, but I mean,
but how did it turn out? Like how, like,
oh, well, I mean, I think he's still like, you know, we'll text my sister something about how he likes it or something.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it was all fine. And he's not big on gifts. So like, I would never, like, usually I don't even get him anything for Christmas or like a gift card, but then that seems silly.
Mm-hmm.
He has his own money. So
yeah.
Like, this was maybe the only meaningful gift that I'll get for him. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that creativity, so this was more what I was thinking about in terms of creativity and generosity, is that creativity gave me like a way to give him something
mm-hmm.
meaningful.
Yes. Kind of like with Richard and the pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you have a creative talent that allows you to, like, make things, it's a really cool way to be able to be generous with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a friend who has, he's kind of a tech wizard, and he has a 3D printer, and so he was able to, like, make me a few things. And it was just so awesome that he was able to really, like, oh, yeah, like, it's not going to take me that much time, that much money. Yeah, I can do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, sweet. But I have no idea how any of that works, nor do I have the time or money to buy a printer. And so it was just so generous of him to be able to supply me with the perfect pieces for my cosplay.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times when people will ask me to make them something and then they want to pay me for it. And I think, but I just, let me just give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's something that's simple.
Right. That doesn't take me much time.
I'll enjoy doing it.
Or even if I don't enjoy doing it, but it's like 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
who cares?
Yeah.
Now, if you ask me to hem your pants, I will say no. Maybe that is how I need to practice generosity.
Well, okay. Well, maybe we'll touch on that a little bit later because
that's taking away the joy.
Well, actually,
you said generosity needs to have joy.
It
attached.
Does need to have joy. Also,
and if I was hemming pants for people, then I would not have joy.
Also, you would need to give out of a place of like fullness, you know, where you have plenty, and so you're going to give out more. You don't hem things. You don't
That's
even
right.
hem your own stuff.
That's right. These pants I'm wearing right now are way too long.
Yeah. So we would probably just cut those off. Like your shirt yeah. is not hemmed right now. Like you don't have hems to give out to people.
Out of in abundance.
Yes.
Or I give hymns to other people and at the expense of my own hymns.
Yes. It's that the cobbler's kids have no shoes
uh-huh.
kind of thing. Yeah. So, no, that would not be generous of
no.
you. It would be like me and my mending Mondays.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mistakes.
Well, and then, yeah, that is edging back into what we were talking about before with it all being connected to obligation. Then I'm doing it as some sort of like penance.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am supposed to be being generous and selfless and I hate hemming things. And so that's what I will do for other people. Like mm-hmm. that there needs to be some sort of discomfort for the generosity to count.
So here's a question then that I'm thinking of. Because I work with kids a lot, and we have to teach them we have to teach them to do things that maybe don't feel good right now, but that feel good later.
Well, isn't that what being an adult is about?
I mean, yes. So, like, eating your vegetables and things of that nature.
Turning the TV off before 1:30.
There you go.
So, no, thank you.
So, when we're teaching kids to be generous, oftentimes there isn't joy in that. Now that I'm thinking about it, they don't want to share their toys or whatever it may be. So, like, is that something that, like, that joy can maybe be cultivated? Could you potentially...
That's the difference between joy and happiness, right?
Perhaps.
Because you don't feel happy, but if joy exists outside of happiness, maybe it's in those moments that you're... feeling the difference.
So part of me is thinking, like, we want to teach our kids to share so that they can obviously be, quote, good people, but so that they can...
Because sharing is caring.
Exactly. But so that they can interact with other human beings and have relationship. Because relationship requires you to share things.
Or, like you said earlier, being generous is good for our community. It's part of how we survive as a collective.
Exactly. So perhaps... as we're teaching our kids to share, they're, you know, when they do share, they're able to engage in friendships. And so eventually they do get that, at least a little bit of that good feeling back.
Well, we also touched briefly on generosity coming from a place of abundance. Mm. And so maybe what we're actually trying to teach our kids at a young age is to have abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset.
Which, could you remind us a little bit about what that looks like
a quick... If I remember in the show notes, I will link to the podcast. But if I forget, just go back a ways. We talk about abundance and scarcity. So basically, scarcity mindset says there's never enough. Like, the pie is only so big. If I take a bigger share, then your share is smaller. There's not enough to go around. Abundance mindset says there will always be enough. So when this pie is gone, there will be another one. That resources are renewable. Mm-hmm. And so things like creativity. So Maya Angelou, we have a quote actually. Mm-hmm. What does it say up there? You can't use up creativity. The more you use, the more you have. That is abundance mindset. Mm. Instead of saying, here would be an example, like with fabric specifically, let's talk about creativity. Like, if I have a fabric that I really love, I don't want to use it. I like hoard it. I don't want to use the last of it because I like it. And what if I use it wrong? That's kind of operating from a scarcity mindset, when the truth is there will always be more fabric and there will be another fabric that I love too. So, that's kind of the difference. So maybe what we're trying to teach kids by sharing is caring. Mm-hmm. We're trying to teach them to operate from an abundance mindset. If you share this toy, then you're going to create relationship with that person. You're going to have someone to play with, or they're going to share a toy with you. Like, there's more toys. There's enough to go around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think generosity has to come from an abundance mindset. Uh-huh. There's, like, you wouldn't be able to separate it, because if you are in a scarcity mindset, you're going to hoard everything.
Right.
Or if you do give something out, it's with an expectation that you will get something, if not more, back than what you gave.
Right. Which is part of how we manipulate people into tithing, right? Like, if you give, then God is going to
bless you more,
that back to you tenfold or whatever. And so a lot of times that is the motivation that we have for giving.
Yeah. Which I don't think is very good. Like, based on what you just said,
because
there,
even if it's true, like, even if that is what happens, is it a byproduct? Is it it still is distorting where you're starting from.
I think, and to go along with that, we typically talk about, like, you're supposed to give with a cheerful heart. Uh-huh. There's supposed to be joy when you give. And, like, much like what we tell children, like, no, it's good to share. You know, you are going to get good things back. But eventually, I think they are supposed to understand that sharing and giving to other people inherently in itself is good. Mm-hmm. And that it is a good thing to participate in. So, okay, now that we've been sufficiently off track, we've talked a little bit about the sharing like our products of creativity with people.
Yes.
Like
people sharing meals with me.
Quilts, gifts,
all
that.
Dairy-free pizza.
I would say time fits in there as well. Mm. Where like, oh, they spent time in a conversation with me. They were willing to, you know, hang out with me for a little while. So make, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. To me, that time feeds into the next thing.
Okay. So we've talked about product. Now let's move into
process. So when we are talking about creativity, a lot you'll hear us talk about the product of creativity or the process of creativity. To me, time is inviting people into a process. So specifically with creativity, it could be taking the time to teach someone a skill. Like that can be a way that I'm using, being generous with my
creativity
with my knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's another abundance mindset principle, is that you're not hoarding information. You freely share,
yes,
information and resources. And so I think that time is a process type of generosity.
Okay. I think it could possibly fit into both. Just because I was thinking specifically about having a conversation with someone.
Or you're thinking of it as like if you're thinking of time as a commodity or as a resource.
Yes.
As a limited resource, mm-hmm, in fact, then yeah, I could see how it would be a product.
Yeah. But it's also your time and knowledge if you're inviting someone into your creativity. Something that we do here at Make Do all the time, every day. So let's see what else I had put on there. Yeah, I had put on there sharing knowledge, bringing others along. Oh, with in your creativity. I was talking with a parent today at Itty Bitty Playtime, and we were talking about how kids are so interested in the simplest things, cardboard boxes. Or she was telling me that they had changed out their deadbolt on their door. And her son was like, oh, can I play with that? Mm-hmm. And that's just one of his new toys now, is to, mm-hmm, get to mess with this deadbolt. And as we were talking, I said, yeah, I don't have kids of my own, but something that I've noticed is that most kids are very interested in what you are doing. Mm. It's why we give little kids like little kitchenettes or like shopping carts, because they want to be like you. Mm-hmm. And so finding ways to invite them into whatever you're doing is a great way to spend time with your kids. Help to teach them something, and maybe you're inviting them into a creative process. And that mom was telling me, yeah, I've made an effort that each week I'm going to make like biscuits or muffins with all, and she said, well, at least one of my kids. And that's an excellent way to share the process. Mm-hmm. It's like, mom, I just, you know, I want to help you cook. Yes, it's going to take more time. So you haven't.
That's why I see time as fitting into this process.
Because it will take more time than if mom just said, oh, I'm just going to make muffins, mm-hmm, for y'all. I've got 10 million other things that I have to do.
Because it's sharing your time with someone is an example of being generous through the process, mm-hmm, instead of being generous through a thing, through a product.
You also have to be generous in that you have to be very patient with, right, someone who's new. This same mom was telling me, yes, my son was really interested in mopping, but I knew that they would make more of a mess than they had cleaned up. Yeah. She's like, and I became one of those parents where I just did it. And I said, no, I'm just going to do it, you know, all on my own and get it done quickly. And she goes, and that just didn't feel right. So she had to find that avenue of like baking with her kids to get that sort of like sharing process of creativity. But it just goes to show that your kids, maybe even your spouse or your friends, want to come along with you in your creative journeys. Like right now, I'm again helping friends build their cosplays. It's taking them a lot longer to sew something because we have to meet up and coordinate and, right, do all of that. Plus they don't have 17 years of experience in sewing like I do. But what I'm getting out of it is this community, and they are getting out of it a skill and relationship and all
of that. Well, it also gives you a way to create a shared experience with someone, mm-hmm, which is why we don't teach one-on-one classes at Make Do. Everything we teach is in a group, because the whole point, Richard was here and was talking about how we're selling a craft or something. And I said,
yes,
no, we're selling community.
Yeah. Well, because he was like, you don't want to be selling a craft. I think
I don't remember even now how it started. But when he said that, I was like, no, this is what we're fighting against all the time. We're not selling the craft.
We're not selling to teach
the skill. Yeah. We're selling community. And the skill is just a bonus. Mm-hmm. Deep down. Like, yeah. Otherwise, people could just learn on YouTube. Anyway, I've gotten on a soapbox. But it doesn't even have to be something that is like an obviously creative thing, right? Like when you're choosing to share any sort of experience with someone, mm-hmm. Like what else would you be doing? Like you want to spend time with your friends. So if you're not taking time and being patient to do this particular thing, you'd be doing what? Just staring at each other at a coffee shop? Like may as well do this.
But it does, I would say that it does require more effort and giving than, say, going to a coffee shop and talking to each other.
Well, it also requires more of you. Like, there's a little bit of unevenness, right? Like, you're the one that's having to
I mean,
do you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, sorry. I mean, essentially what I'm doing with them is I'm basically holding, like, a mini make-do class.
Yeah.
So I'm doing for free something that normally I would do at work and get paid for.
Right.
And if they ever listen to this, I enjoyed that. I have still enjoyed being with them and doing all of that. And I would do it all over again. But that is my part of being generous to them. But one of those friends is being generous in return because she can't stand crowds and she's making this costume so she can go to a big crowd at Comic-Con. Right. But again,
well, that's interesting. Maybe this falls into our next section. Okay let's just jump to it.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about mindset. So we've talked about abundance and scarcity, mm-hmm. but having a creative mindset when it comes to generosity and what counts as being generous, yes. right? And so what you just brought up about your friend doing something that puts her out of her comfort zone is a way that she's being generous with you.
Yes. I mean, if we can hang out all of those other ways that you had talked about before, and it probably would be way more comfortable for her. Mm-hmm. But she knows how much I enjoy this, and so she's willing to spend her time and effort doing something that she does not want to be doing for the sake of relationship and community.
Yeah.
But what happens when you don't have that? Like, if you're trying to live in a generous mindset that expands just beyond your friendship, can you do that?
I need you to explain that more.
So we want to have this generous mindset. Yes.
Okay.
Is it possible to have that generous mindset with people that we don't know? Because
isn't that what we just talked about at the beginning?
But a lot of these examples that we have been sharing have been in the context of our relationships, because that's really the easiest place to talk about it.
Well, also that was how I had framed the conversation. It wasn't until you started talking that I thought, wait, actually, is it more generous when we do these things for strangers?
Mm-hmm. So I guess what might it look like if we're trying to have a generous mindset with strangers?
Well, okay, so here's a thought I had for what is required of a creative mindset. It requires not a creative mindset, a generous. Yeah, okay. So it does require some sort of connection. So sometimes that is a connection to a person. Like, you're connected to them because they're your friend. Maybe you're connected to them because they live on your block, but you don't really know them. Like, we're not just throwing money into the wind and whoever catches it,
that doesn't count as generosity.
So like, there has to be some sort of connection. So it's either to the person or maybe it's to a situation or a circumstance. So,
like maybe you're identifying with that circumstance or
maybe you like, okay, like in the nonprofit world, you're going to have a lot of people that connect with a certain, type of nonprofit because of something in their life that they have experienced that draws them to that thing. So it could be like, you know, nonprofits that support veterans. People who are veterans are going to naturally be drawn to those types of nonprofits, or like nonprofits that engage with foster care. If you've gone through foster care, you don't need to actually know the people to have like an intense connection to it, right?
But there might be like a shared experience, or maybe even having a relationship with someone who has had a similar experience.
Sure. Like, but it's all the, that there is connection is happening somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it's like a broken chain. Like if the tracks don't connect, the train can't keep going.
Yeah. You have to be able to find that sort of like emotional connection to what I'm being, and I know what it's like to be a human being on this earth.
Right. I mean, that's what support groups are, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know those people. They are potentially strangers, but you have an immediate connection to them because you've gone through something similarly traumatic.
Exactly. No, I think that's an excellent example, is like support groups. People that you might not otherwise talk to.
Right.
Okay.
And that's what we are creating at Make Do. When someone comes and takes a quilting class or whatever, then they are, that class in itself is giving them something in common with strangers.
Okay. So
and it can be traumatizing. So the quilting class.
I wasn't going to say it, so I'm glad that you did. Yeah, a shared like horrible experience.
Or good experience. But
yeah,
like
either way.
But an experience where you're overcoming.
Yes.
Something.
So a generous mindset requires connection.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the only thing that it requires? Do you think having a generous mindset, like, does it require more than just the connection?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure if we kept thinking about it, we'd come up with more.
I just didn't know if you had anything else on that.
I am staring at something that goes on our gallery wall that has fallen down, but it's the cliche of when life gives you lemons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Make Do's logo involves lemons, because when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. That's kind of the cliche of Make Do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I talk about that, I always take it a step further and say, you never take that lemonade that you make and go into a corner and like put a straw in the pitcher and drink it all by yourself. You're always sharing that. So you're either taking it out on the corner and selling it,
mm-hmm.
and like profiting from that experience, or you're inviting people in to have lemonade, or you're taking lemonade out to someone who's like hot and sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself is generosity.
Yeah, that is the picture of generosity, right? You have this abundant pitcher and you're going to go out and share it, or be able to use it for something that was beyond just for you.
Well, and to take it a step further, where did that pitcher of lemonade come from? Lemons.
Mm-hmm.
Like something sour in your life.
Something that most people would not use on their own.
Right. So sometimes I think that our generosity can come from abundance or privilege.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm privileged enough to have certain things in my life. So that means that we've talked about how generosity doesn't come with like obligation, but to whom much is given, much is expected.
Yeah.
In a sense. My generosity could come from a place of privilege, but generosity can also come from a place of lemons. Well, I can't think of the...
Well, like going back to the support group, if you've mm-hmm. gone through something that's truly been traumatic, you can then take that traumatic experience, talk to other people who have been through it, and be able to build support and care for people who may not otherwise get that kind of connection.
Yeah. So see, maybe it is all about connection, because I'm thinking what's the point? Like, maybe the thing that we have that is the most valuable for us to be generous with is truly ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like being our true self around other people and sharing that with people and inviting them in. Like that was one thing that was so, I don't want to use the word surprising, but like when I made my meal train, I just thought, I don't know that many people.
You're putting yourself out there.
Right. And then so many people stepped up, like so many people, that it was actually really humbling for me to realize that people not only care about me, but they're also paying attention.
Yes.
To what is going on in my life.
I'm just sitting here mulling over what you said about like need that generosity requires some connection, and it also requires or sharing ourselves is the biggest way that we can be generous. And I think it's what we really all are craving, is for ourselves to be known by other people, to give ourselves entirely over to something or some people. And I'm not talking just about like marriage relationships. I mean, truly being yourself and giving yourself over to that and not holding anything back. For
that's also why we really dig our heels in on certain things that we like will build our identity around.
Mm-hmm.
So like for us, that's creativity.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like we've built a whole personal identity, business identity around creativity. For some people, that's their politics. And that can be really dangerous. Like that's why stuff feels so polarized when you like really dig your heels in on certain things like that. For some people, it's religion. For some, you know, their education, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm. I think it can be really difficult when you've given yourself over to something and you realize that you don't like it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Or that it's not, you're not getting anything from it. And I don't mean getting, I mean, there's nothing fulfilling in it, that it's actually hollow.
Yes. Yeah, that can be truly scary. So like, yes, you yourself are your most valuable commodity.
But creativity, I will die on this hill. Yeah. We're finding fullness through creativity. So there is like, in that sense, it is, gives you, there's a lot of fulfillment to be found in whatever. And we've already explained it involves anything, right?
See previous episodes. Yeah. We're not just talking about paint and sewing. It goes beyond that. Yeah. So if you need to find something to give yourself over to, pick creativity.
Yeah. Right. Because it's the best.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
Tips.
Yes. Tips. So
I feel like we've been all over. Like, tips for what?
Okay. So let's say you're like, all right, this sounds really great. I want to be a generous person. I don't want to live out of obligation. How do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So make sure that you're giving out of plenty. Generosity is talking about a readiness to give. When you have an abundance of lemons, you can make lemonade, but that requires an abundance of something. So like going back to your hem analogy, if you're not already hemming stuff for yourself, you don't need to be hemming stuff for other people. You can be generous with other people in other ways.
Okay. However, I don't hem things because I don't care.
Okay. Yes.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Eventually the analogy breaks down because I know that you're just like, I don't need to hem this. It's fine.
Right.
But okay. So let's make this a little bit more abstract. If you're not taking care of yourself and being generous mm-hmm. with yourself, you cannot be generous with other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, take it to like, if we're talking about money, if you don't have enough money to take care of yourself, you do not need to be generous with money.
Right.
You can be generous other ways. We've already talked about that. So
like you wouldn't put yourself in debt to be generous financially for someone else.
You should not.
Right.
But there are people who do.
Right.
So don't bankrupt yourself.
And okay. So that then would lead into, well, did I interrupt you? Did you have more to say about that?
No, keep going.
So this is a new thought that I haven't written down, but there has to be a level of wisdom then.
Discernment, perhaps?
Right, in how we are choosing to be generous. Because in the example we just used, going into debt so that someone else has enough money is not wise.
Yes,
exactly. That will sink your boat real fast.
And then you are not capable of then being generous with other mm-hmm. people.
It's like how you need to put on your own oxygen mask before you put on someone else's.
Absolutely. So again, that's why it's important not to box yourself into, these are the only ways that people can be generous.
Right.
Because you may have a deficit in one of those areas and then you're going to feel bad about yourself. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to do that. To my next tip, there needs to be joy in your generosity. That's like your litmus test for, is this obligation or is this generosity? Because if you are constantly doing things out of obligation, it will build resentment and then you will not want to be generous with other people. And
okay. We do have obligations though.
Yes. We do not have to be generous, though.
Right.
Again, being generous is about going up, going beyond what is expected.
Right. Okay.
So do what is expected of you. But if you sense that there's some sort of obligation or you are trying to manipulate someone, there's not joy there.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to get something out of it when you should just be asking for it.
Yeah. Sometimes that I think when we have a distorted view of joy or when we're connecting, when we are wrongly using the word happiness instead of joy, then manipulating a situation could bring us happiness if it gets us what we want.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But and then it's not generous.
No, because eventually people find out that you're manipulating them and then you lose a connection.
Yeah.
Which then means you can't be generous and that's not good.
Okay. One of my tips is to focus on authenticity over obligation.
Yes.
So back to my meal train, the people who were like, I hate to cook, but I want you to eat. What do you want? Pick a restaurant.
Ooh. Okay. So you said this is authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think I would say it like know yourself, know your resources and your limits.
Mm-hmm.
So that you know how you can be generous.
Well, and you don't have to pretend. Like, you don't have to, we'll keep talking about it in terms of the meal train. You don't have to say, oh, I know Joe really needs help with food. I guess I'll make some, I want to help. I'll just fake it till I make it and make her this whatever spaghetti.
Yeah, I'll make something and I'll hate it. Hate the process of making it.
Like,
but I still want to be seen as one of those people that made her a home-cooked meal.
Yes.
Why are you holding on to that image of making a home-cooked meal? Do something.
Right. And that you just said, I'll hate it. So there, that's taking out the joy.
Yeah.
And that is operating completely from a sense of obligation to serve a need instead of authenticity to serve a need.
Ooh, okay. So now I'm thinking, you need, when you are being generous, make sure that it is fulfilling an actual need.
Mm.
Like, make sure it's fulfilling the need that actually needs to be taken care of.
That's a good one because we get that wrong a lot.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking so in the case of that person who maybe doesn't want to cook, is the need for you to look like you have made a home cooked meal?
Oh.
For someone?
Not my need. What is the person's need who's participating?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What actually is needing to get done here? Is it Joe being fed or is it your need to look like you can make a home-cooked meal?
Right.
Joe is the reason we're making this meal train. She needs to be fed. Use any means. Get creative in the way that you're going to meet that need.
Mm-hmm. I think this one strikes me, especially because, I always want to be the best and be impressive, even in how destroyed my shoulder was. I'm have some weird pride. So authenticity is always kind of the first thing I'm looking at, right? And because I can so easily slide into, I need to make the most amazing thing so I can be the best person on the meal train.
Yes.
And that's silly.
No, because that's not the point.
Right.
But
that's making it about me.
Yes.
Not about the other person.
Mm, so maybe that's another tip. Is the generosity, is it truly about meeting that need of the other person? Or are you making it about you?
Mm-hmm.
How much money you're giving?
I think a lot of times that is where we get tripped up. That's what the whole Ayn Rand Fountainhead is about. Anything. It's when we are getting stuff twisted and making it about us.
Yeah. Do you believe in what you're giving to? Does it line up with your core values? And if it doesn't, why are you bothering?
Mm-hmm. So that leads me into my last tip, which is there can't be strings attached.
If there are
strings, then it's not generosity.
I mean, that's the basics of a gift. A gift is you give and you don't expect anything in return. And generosity is part of that.
So as a nonprofit, Make Do is always asking people for money.
Yes.
If you're listening, there's a link in the show notes for how you can you can be generous to us with your money. But there can't be the people who donate to Make Do have to already be liking what we're doing and they have to be open. They have to trust us to steward their money well and also that we have the vision for what we're doing.
Yes.
And so if we, like, let's say someone was like, "You, I'll give you money, but you can never have purple fabric." Well, like, that's silly.
Yeah.
Why would we do that? But people put that sort of stipulation on their particularly financial giving, but other sorts of generosity as well. And so for it to truly be generosity from which you're giving,
yes,
there can't be strings.
Yes, I agree. But as I start to think about this a little bit more, it makes me think about, like, when people are specifically dealing with their money, they want to get, quote, what they pay for, and they want that with nonprofits as well. And so if you know, those nonprofits decide to, like, change, like, some little things, sometimes people are like, oh, well, that's not what I signed up for. And they,
as well, right, and that's why a lot of organizations, churches, you name it, they get held hostage by the people with the big pockets,
mm-hmm,
because they're afraid to go down a path that they know is right for the communities that they're serving, because will people who are giving a lot of money stop?
Yeah.
And that's a real shame.
I think I may have to ponder on that a little bit more, because that's a really big topic. And I wonder where I sit in some of that, like how I feel about all of that. Anyways. I'm through with my tips.
Yeah. Now, you don't have to keep giving. Like, if an organization that you have been giving to does something that no longer aligns with your values, mm-hmm, then that connection's not there anymore. Then you don't have to keep giving.
Yeah. Again, that you're not obligated to keep giving.
Right. There's no strings attached either way. So yes, that means from both, the person giving the money has no strings attached, but also the organization receiving the money can't have any strings attached of expectation for future gifts either, unless they've been promised. Yeah. Okay. So that's like, that goes down. Maybe that will help alleviate some of what you're feeling you need to sit with, because mm-hmm, it all goes back to the connection and the relationship. And if there's not a level of, like, trust isn't even the word, maybe it is the word I want to use, or at least a level of confidence,
mm-hmm,
in what you're giving, then it's not the right fit, maybe.
Yeah.
Or it's not, or it's moving into the manipulation side of things.
Yes.
Oh, well, we went down a very specific rabbit hole.
Which is very close to our hearts, obviously, which makes it hard to... Sometimes stuff like that can be hard to talk about.
Well, especially because I'm always thinking about, how are we telling the right stories? How are we making people?
How are we communicating with people to make those connections?
How are they seeing that they're getting a bang for their buck?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how are they seeing a return on the investment that they've made and make do? But the stories are happening here. So, like, yes, we tell those stories of gratitude, but never as, like, a bait and switch, or as like to prove anything.
Mm-hmm. They're stories that are worth telling.
Yes.
Is the reason why we tell them. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I've got on generosity and creativity. You got any other thoughts?
No. I had more thoughts than I thought. We just really made a big circle around that conversation.
No, I think it was good. I've discovered some things about myself, as I normally do in some mm-hmm. of these more in-depth podcasts. So I enjoyed it. I hope you, listener, have enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, I hope you were able to follow us. Yes. Got lost a little, maybe.
Okay, so let's get into some sweet and sour then.
Okay.
All right.
Which do you want to do first?
I'll do my sweet. My sweet
first.
What's
your sweet?
I'm going to be seeing my family here soon. And I've been very, very blessed. Specifically, this is my sweet. I've been blessed to see my family probably about once a month recently. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed it. It's nice to be able to see my mom and dad. I didn't know that I'd get to a point so quickly in my life where I'm like, yeah, I need to go visit my parents. Mm. But I'm glad I'm there. They're such a blessing. And getting to see my sister too. Because
she lives far away.
Mm-hmm. That was really good. So very much a blessing. So glad to, I'm thankful for my family and being able to go and see them.
I have two sweets. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely.
The first one is that I can paint my fingernails by myself now.
Both hands, too. Yeah. I'm shocked.
Okay, the real one is that we have new storage in, new shelves in our storage room in our main studio. And it's amazing. And stuff finally is having a place. I did say to Madison, because we've spent several afternoons working on it this week, and I was like, man, Madison, can you imagine how long this would take if just one person was having to do all this? And then I realized she was doing all of it. Yeah. I can, like, carry one thing at a time. I mostly sat on a stool and said, hey, what's in there?
I have to say, when you said that, I was thinking about the first time that I, like, well, like, when I was new to make do, and you're like, yeah, just go and reorganize the supply closet. I did not have the skill that I have now. Oh, and yeah. My organization skills are still very lacking. Oh, man. So, yes, I have done this once before. But now it feels like I think we've finally, like, hit that sweet spot of we have storage, we've got tools, we've got a system, we're ready to go.
I think the biggest thing is how do you need to use the stuff? And when you were just here, you didn't know, like, mm-hmm. how stuff was being used. And we've been in this space for 3 years. And I feel like just now we are deciding how we want to organize all of our supplies. And, like, because we have a lot of storage, but it's not centralized. It's in, like, two main storage areas and then a couple of smaller closets and then shelves in your office. Like, it's all spread apart.
Yes.
And what do we prioritize and what do we put where? But I really enjoyed it. Yes. I had a great week.
I'm so glad. It makes me happy every time we go in that back room. Just, guys, for a quick tip here, if you just get things off the floor, oh my word, it makes so much of a difference. Just like if you don't have clutter on the floor, if you just, like, pick things up and put them on shelves, ugh, it just makes so much of a difference.
Now, we did take all the clutter from the floor in the storage and put it as clutter in the floor in my office. But we had to, like, completely clear it out.
We're working through it. We're finding places for everything.
Ugh. So that's my sweet. It's so amazing.
Yes.
Maybe we can even go spend some minutes back there when we're done with this.
Enjoy that.
Yeah.
My sour is I've been really busy lately. I've stepped out of my, quote, busy season here at Make Do, but I've stepped into some other responsibilities and a few, like, I've got a little side hustle going on that's taken up a lot of my time, as well as I've had some friends, like, moving in and out of houses and needing, you know, they've needed things. And I just haven't had a lot of time for myself lately.
Also, Make Do has been requiring more of you.
Oh, yeah, because I'm doing all, not all the things.
We're
but
half
most
a person
of the things.
Down.
Yes. So, I mean, yeah, I guess Make Do has been asking more of me, but.
But it's also in a slow season, so maybe it all comes out the same.
So it's fine. But, I've just been really busy. I'm looking forward to Labor Day weekend where I'm going to get just a little bit of a break, you know?
Yeah.
Chill.
I had a really good sour that popped into my head like yesterday or the day before, and now I don't remember what it was.
Man, when I think of a really good sour, I think of a really good Sour Patch Kid. I'm like, that sounds tasty.
Do you like the watermelon ones?
That's the thing. I'm not a watermelon fan.
I like watermelon flavor. I don't like actual watermelon.
Ooh, interesting.
It's the texture.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean, not to be cliche, but I'm getting kind of tired of this. I have started calling my sling, hello, darkness, my old friend.
Because it's black and it hangs out.
Yeah, and it's huge, but also I need it.
Yeah.
So, but I start PT on Tuesday, which when this comes out will be tomorrow.
Yes.
But right now it's Friday, so a few more days.
Okay.
But it's also, I've only been by myself for 1 week, so my dad left this time last week.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, this week has gone by a lot slower than the other weeks did when I had someone with me all the time.
Yeah. Isn't that wild how just being with someone can just make things go super fast?
Yeah. But anyway, it's fine. I start PT soon, and that means I can, like, at least get some movement, which will also mean more pain, but that's fine.
Mm.
It means, like, we're moving along in the process.
Gotcha.
So,
can I tell you what I'm learning?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I have been doing a little bit more crochet.
Okay.
Because I want to get, like, a feel for some of the crochet things that we may or may not do and make do. So, I've been, like, kind of fiddling with that a little bit. I've also been learning how to, or I'm going to be learning how to make adjustable bow ties. There's like a little, there's a little kit that you can buy that has like little find, like little buckles and things in it that I want to use for a more professional finish. So I'm going to be learning how to use that. So, oh, and I'm also going to be learning how to make arm socks.
Arm socks.
So
like arm warmers?
Kind of. So for cosplay characters, people used to use body paint if the character was like a different color.
Okay.
But that rubs off when you're at Comic-Con.
Right.
Because it's paint.
Yeah.
So instead what people do is they take tights and they cut a hole near the neck and they use the tights as arm socks. So basically it colors their arms, but it stays tight to their skin. But it what it requires you to do is to sew
out. Does the crotch go around your neck? Is that where you cut the hole?
That's where you cut the hole.
You said that you cut a hole in the neck, but tights don't have a neck.
Sorry.
You cut a hole in the crotch.
Yeah, you cut a hole in the crotch.
And that becomes the neck.
Yes.
And then your hands go down the legs.
Go down the, yeah. And then when you get them into the feet, you like turn them, you know, wrong side out. And then you have to kind of like sew around a drawing of your hand. So you end up with like basically tights, but they have fingers at the end.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm hoping it goes well.
Yeah. That could be a fun class.
Arm socks.
Yeah.
Could be fun, but we'll see how it goes. You glue nails at the end of the fingers. So it really does look like.
Yeah. Like hands.
Yes.
Not just like gloves.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
I know. I'm excited, but now I have to think, how am I going to blend like the neck into my neck into like the chest of the arm socks.
Right.
So I'll figure something out. Usually they hide it with like a necklace or something, but my character doesn't have that. So I'm going to have to figure out.
Who's your character?
How to do that. Very obscure. I'm not going to bother explaining.
Okay.
It's from a Dungeons and Dragons thing.
Oh, okay. Okay. What am I learning? Well, yeah. I'm learning that my worth is not connected to the amount of work that I do.
Oh, girl. I am so proud of you right now.
Now, do I believe it? I'm not so sure yet. We will see. Right now, I have the crutch. Well, my sling, which is my crutch.
Yes.
So we'll see if I'm able to still sit in this place of learning in, you know, 3 weeks when maybe my sling will be gone and I still will not be like up to full work again. But right now, I'm just, my dad is like, just try to enjoy it. So
yeah, lean that's into what
I'm
learning.
I'm reading a lot.
You're also learning how to do some like cute little animations and things.
Oh, on Canva.
Yeah.
Self-taught.
There you go. No, that's good.
Yeah. So that's what I'm learning.
So proud of you. Learning new things even while your arm's in a sling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Maybe learning new things because my arm is in a sling.
That is one way to put it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think, dear listener, you have been very generous with your time. We've talked quite a bit today. Yeah. So thank you.
You can always put us on speed and a half.
Oh, yeah. We sound really smart when we do that.
Way smarter.
So smart.
Anyways, all right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at MakeDoCreate or on Facebook at MakeDoCersei, and visit our website, MakeDoCreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.